Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning and welcome to The Watchman. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Trust everybody is doing well on this Tuesday. It is the seventh day of May 2019. What if I were to say to you, and that is a big what if, and I want to put that out there right up front. What if I were to tell you that today was the last day of your life on this earth? What if today was your last day, that the end of your vapor had come today? Do you have a testimony of the glory of God in your life? Do you have a witness in your heart that your relationship with the Father is intact through His Son, Jesus Christ, according to God's Word? Not according to your emotions, not according to your feelings, not according to your thoughts, but according to God's Word, is your life in alignment with the Father if it were your last day? Now, I know there's a lot of people on this earth that believe that, well, if it's my last day, it's my last day, and I'm going the way I am, and they have this bravado attitude only to be met in eternity with something that would make them be like little kids wetting their beds at nighttime out of pure terror and fear. And I'm asking a very serious question to everybody out there today, not the big tough guys that think they're so cool and they're going to handle God when they show up in heaven, right? No, I'm asking, if it were your last day on the face of this earth, are you ready? Are you intact according to the Word of God? Because really, there's no other way to prepare yourself to stand before God in eternity other than the Word of God. You're not going to go with Buddha's ideas, Confucius's thoughts, or anybody else's, right? Not even your own. The Word of God, the Word of God. Are you ready? Have you confessed your sin? Are you standing in the grace of God? Have you been accessing this portal into God's grace in your life? Are you justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Is your mind sealed with the Spirit of the living God? Do you have the eternal seal upon your life? Does the promise of eternal life move within your being? Are you washed? Are you cleansed from all iniquity, from all sin? Have you forgiven everybody on the planet? Are you walking in the integrity of God's Word? In other words, not before men as a big show, but is your spirit, your heart, your mind engaged in the Word of God, doing and obeying when nobody's looking what the Word of God says to do? If today were the last day of your life and you were in alignment with God and you're there, how would you live it today? how would you live your day? Would you still be, you know, proud and arrogant and lustful and envious and bitter and unforgiving and fear? If you knew today was the last day of your life on this earth, how would you live it? How would you treat the people around you? If you knew today was your last day, that your vapor was coming to an end, that your final breaths were going to be breathed out today, what would you do with your final breath? Would you complain and murmur, or would you give glory to God? Would you give thanks to God? Would you be concerned about all the things going on in the world, things that you can't do anything about, quite frankly, but in your own sphere of influence? Have you made peace with God? Have you made peace? Have you gone the extra mile, turned the other cheek? Have you given your coat along with your shirt? Have you obeyed the word of the Lord? Have you been a doer of the word of the Lord? This is a question we need to ask, because who knows if today is not the last day of someone's life on this earth. And my prayer to God is that our labor in the kingdom of God through these airwaves is that somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit will make contact with someone's heart out there today and will give them hope, will give them joy and peace, or conviction and rebuke, in order to see themselves clearly, and then, of course, respond accordingly. And we know that we can't do that. Only the Word of God can do that. Let me ask you another what if I may. What if I told you, and again, this is a huge what if I told you that not only is it possible for today to be the last day of your life, but what if your day was not going to end, but you were going to move through the summer season, and you were going to come out into September? And what if in the month of September or October, what if in September or October of 2019, the end of America as you know it would be completely obliterated? What if you woke up in September, maybe on 9/11, 2019, maybe in October during the Feast of Tabernacles, 2019, and what if I told you that America would be viewing several burning cities, a financial wipeout, a decapitation of the head capital city in Washington, D.C., and a massive heart attack from the middle of the country were to take place, and a lights-out scenario would unfold in our very midst? What if, like on 9/11/2001, when people woke up on a Tuesday morning to see the Twin Towers falling to the ground in ashes, we saw that same exact scenario repeated, but a massive scale 9/11 event? What if I told you that the summer fruits and the basket of summer fruits, that God's call to repentance, God's cry for repentance within our nation, has gone unheeded? People kept their eyes on the bread basket, the money basket, rather than the basket of summer fruits representing the sin of a nation. What if the repentance was too slow? It was not aggressive. It was lighthearted. What if God, from his holy perspective, said, the end is come? Well, he said it in the days of Amos. When Amos was asked of the Lord, what do you see? Amos said, I see a basket of summer fruit. And God said, you've seen right. An end of my people has come, and there will be dead bodies everywhere. And we know today that those dead bodies represent within the cities of America, most likely around the world, but right here in good old USA, there is a judgment that has been set against this nation, and there is a day of accountability. And what if I told you that day of accountability was coming in September, October, and that you would not live the way you're living today, just going about your business on a nice sunny day, but actually right in the midst of a clear day when everything seems to be so happy that the sudden darkness would come? Again, God told that exact same thing to the prophet Amos. He said that it's going to come down on a clear day at noonday when everything is doubly bright and everything is doubly wonderful. It is at that time that the darkness will descend, and the words of the Lord that have been reserved for that particular generation were going to be fulfilled. So what if I told you September, October was the end of America as you know it, that the collapse that the prophets had been preaching about for over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We're now going to be visited upon the nation like in the days of Jeremiah. What if I told you that? So if I told you today that just today could be the last day of your life, how would you live it? And if I told you that in September, October, the days of America, as you know it, will come to an end, a screeching halt with fires in every city, burning fires, either through nuclear bombs, dirty bombs, or other mechanisms of mass destruction, maybe even an internal collapse of a domestic false flag event of some sort to throw things way out of kilter, way out of kilter. What if I told you these things, but you would be alive in September and October, but you would not be able to go to the grocery store like Katrina, like in 2005 when that massive storm hit the southeast borders of the United States of America, and God said in those days that it will be like Katrina, a national reality, but multiplied 1,000 times, speaking of the inner cities and different places throughout this nation. What would you do if it were all true? What would you do? Now, of course, the naysayers, the blasphemers, the God haters, the angry Christians that don't like this conversation would raise an eyebrow and rebuke that and say, I don't like that, or that's bull-oni or some other thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's enough is enough with the blasphemy, the railing, the accusations. You know, they told Amos, you know, shut up and go somewhere else and prophesy your garbage and your nonsense somewhere else. That's exactly what they told him in the book of Amos. And I'm sure that there are people in this country and in this world that think they've done a great job of silencing the true prophetic voice by the delay of time of all the things that have been said and the mistakes along the way, but from hearts that were sincere before God. So they think that they've done something to stop it. And yet, what if I told you that all the words of the prophets are about to be fulfilled in this year, 2019, according to the Gregorian calendar, and in September or October, the lights out would take place. And if you happen to die today before that, you're probably a very blessed person. It says in Isaiah that the righteous man perisheth and no man takes it to heart, that the righteous perish to keep him from the evil to come. So if today were your last day on planet Earth, you'd probably be very blessed, particularly if you were in alignment with God, for the things that are coming upon the earth are going to cause men's hearts to melt. And just in case you forgot about that, we're told in Luke chapter 21 in my Bible, it happens to be Luke 21 on page 2019. That's right, 2019 is Luke 21. And it says there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. We've seen them all upon the earth. Distress of nations. We're witnessing it now with perplexity. Go down to Venezuela and other parts of the world, the sea of humanity and the waves roaring, but even through the hurricanes we've seen, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And so we wake up today, we say, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear about the swarm of bees that are coming that have been witnessed several times in the last couple of days. I see bees. Many bees in the land. They are here. They are ready to strike. The hum of the bees can be heard at a very low tone. Soon the sound of the bees will become louder and louder. I saw a swarm of bees flying through the sky, and the Lord said, what do you see? I said, I see bees swarming through the sky. Where do these bees come from? The answer was Palestine. A foreign nation has come to the shores of America. A rooted and deeply established nation within a nation has integrated itself within America's present-day society and is, for the most part, unable to be recognized as enemies of the state. Yes, this nation, Islamic terrorist, has planned to cause America to collapse in one day. There are nuclear weapons everywhere in America, and those hidden faces are in possession of them right now. The plan was set several years ago, and those plans have come to completion and are now ready to be activated. there will be as many as 7 to 15 nuclear explosions or dirty bombs detonated within 7 to 15 major U.S. cities at the same time. The massive explosions will cause cities to be leveled to the ground in moments. The loss of life will be overwhelming, and those who survive will for a time wish for death. Well, that's exactly what Amos said. That there will be many dead bodies everywhere, and the songs of the temple will become howlings. For the day of the Lord is at hand against the proud nation and the proud look of Babylon. The loss of life again will be overwhelming. Those who survive will be for a time wishing for death. There will be no immediate answer in sight, as the nation will be left to itself for several weeks, perhaps even months, before a sobriety settles in as to what has taken place. People will be seeking help everywhere and anywhere they can find it. And I will not go into any further detail concerning the human tragedy that is going to take place. But needless to say, the economy will be destroyed, the markets will crash, and people's lifelong savings will vanish. Now, there are those that believe that America will never be destroyed from an outside force, but they do believe that America will be destroyed because of its own immorality and its own decay and its own corruption. And right now we are drowning in perdition as a nation, as we continually live in the soup of the thing that is going on that creates the desolation of any individual or nation. Ladies and gentlemen, the inward corruption of America, the protection around and about the nation from outside enemy forces for a time is there, but we will be destroyed from within. For God, in times past, has blinded the eyes and the minds of those that were to protect the nation, and through infiltration and stealth jihad, the enemy has come in, has blended, has become just like us, and now is even defended and operating in positions of power within our Congress and different places strategically, and have been waiting for the moment. And what if I were to tell you that that moment is at the door, that we have a summer? We have a summer to walk through. Summer begins on June 21st this year, and it will go all the way through. And then in the economy of God, at the end of summer, while the Israeli people were gathering in the harvest of their fields, because they began the year by honoring the Lord with their Passover offering, that meant the rain would come upon their crops, and 50 days later, they would give their second offering at Shavuot, or the Feast of Harvest, and then they would harvest their crops for four solid months, known as the summer harvest. And because of their honoring the Lord in the Passover and in Pentecost or Shavuot, then God would bless their land. They would reap their harvest, and then they would come to the great Feast of Tabernacles, and they would have a one-week celebration, a party like never, and the people would gather in all their fruits. But God said in the book of Amos that by the time you get to the Feast of Tabernacles, he's going to turn it into howlings. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's a code in the book of Amos. I believe the prophet Amos, the prophet of no particular pedigree or degree of any kind, is speaking to America today. And what if I were to tell you again, we're that close? What would you do? How would you spend your summer? How would you spend your day today, knowing that today could be the very last day of your experience on this earth? What would you do? Well, my answer to my wife when she asked me that question this morning, Patricia Joy, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy, who's going to join me here in just a moment, she asked me that question, what would you do if it was your last day on the earth? And I gave her a big, humongous hug. And I said I would put into full operation the four loves spoken of in Scripture, which is the agape, the storge, the eros, and the phileo loves. And I said, number one, I would, well, let me just say it this way. I would make sure that I loved sincerely and purely my wife in the eros relationship that God called marriages to. I would then call my daughters, I'd contact my family in my storge love, a family love, and I would let them know that I love them as well. Then I would let every brother and sister in the body of Christ, my true family, the body, the phileo, the Philadelphia, the brotherly love, the phileo love, I would extend my life to them in any act of love. And then, of course, the agape, unconditional love of every human being I would meet on this earth. I would make sure that I had no unforgiveness in my heart towards any human being. I would make sure that there is nothing of bitterness, resentment, or any other thing. I would fill my mind with every good thing. I would thank God and praise Him with every final breath that I had for the abundant life He gave me on this earth. I have lived an abundant life. I had more than I've ever dreamed I would have in mental peace, in spiritual security, in the eternal promises of God. The way that I've seen God touch my life, His love for me, as He has eulogized my life. He has spoken words of respect over me. He has blessed me. He has opened doors of opportunity and allowed me to do things nobody in my bloodline has ever done before. I have lived the most exciting life. I have spoken in television, radio, conference. I would thank God for everything. Every provision has been met. I have the greatest friends on this earth a man could ever ask for. They are sincere. They are real. They are godly men and godly women who have served in a manner that has been almost uncomfortable, quite frankly. We have been very blessed. I have been very blessed. And in the interim of all of these things, God has been washing me thoroughly from all of my iniquity, breaking bloodline curses, rebuking, undoing every affliction. He is causing life and more life abundant to come about. He's allowed me to experience life at a level that nobody in my family has ever experienced. And yet, as far as possessing anything, we possess nothing. We have no large bank accounts. The little things we have, we share with the body of Christ, but our needs are met, and I'm thankful to God, and we could leave this earth without any attachments. We're not putting any Corvettes in the grave with us, if you know what I mean. So how about you? How about you? Have your needs been met? Do you have a spouse to love, a family, storge love? Do you have a body of believers known as the phileo to love? Do you have the agape love of God in your heart? Have you forgiven everybody for everything and said, I'm not going to hold on to this for another second because I want all my sins forgiven? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say it again. We're that close. We are that close that we should be examining ourselves at such a very deep level. Is there anything? You know, one of the things that we are laboring towards together at New Wine Ministries is we are truly seeking humility. Our church, this God's church, obviously, but our congregation at New Wine Ministries, it's like they're the most mature, beautiful people you'll ever meet, with servants' hearts you'll ever know, honest to God. And yet, in all that we are doing as a congregation, it's like the one thing we're really after is humility. From the pastoral to the people that are, you know, just we're all just connected, saying we want to be humble before God. We don't want to be proud. We don't want to be arrogant. We don't want to be boastful. We don't want to have an attitude of superiority or a false humility either. I mean, we despise false humility, this pretentious humility. I mean, it's a stench in the nostrils of God, right? But we also don't want to be proud. And so there are those that are working out this humility and practicing humility and learning how to be humble. And we want it. We want the humility because we have discovered at New Wine Ministries that when we humble ourselves, God raises us up in due season and He sets us where He wants us to be. And I believe that the entire congregation simply wants to be in the center of God's will. We don't want to be spectators out in the bleachers. We want to be right in the midst of what God is doing. We want to be a vessel that God is living through, living in, speaking through, working through. We want to be in the very center of our master's purpose and plan for the planet on this earth. And believe me when I tell you, we are the most, we're David's 400 men that have come out to him in the caves of Adullam, discontent, distress, and in debt. That's what was their condition in their lives. And yet we have come out to King Jesus, our King David, if you will, and he has secured us. He is taking care of the debts, and he's seen the distress and the discontentedness, and he has changed us. He's doing it for us. And so we are living at New Wine Ministries the abundant life. People come and go. They travel. They move. Their liberty, the freedom. They do what they want to do. They live at the pace they want to live at, but they're doing it in holiness before God. They're doing it knowing that even though they're 10,000 miles away and nobody's watching, they still honor God. I mean, they just don't do things because they honor God. And that is awesome. They're not subject to a little group of people that they have to be, you know, performance-minded in front of. No, they go anywhere, anytime. Nobody knows. And yet they're just doing it because they love God. Doing what? They're doing the Word of God. They're not just hearers of the Word. They're doers of the Word. And I have the privilege and honor of pastoring a church with my beloved wife, Patricia. We pastor this kind of a congregation. I mean, this is awesome. And we get to walk on this earth with them. And I want you to know that if every single bird that falls to the ground, God is aware of, that he said we're of more value than many birds. You know what God was really saying? You know what Jesus said? God has this crystal ball in heaven. He does. It's a crystal sea. The occultists tried to steal it from him with their little crystal balls. Well, God says before his throne is the crystal sea. He sees things crystal clear and magnifies the smallest ant is in his perception. He sees the ant. He sees everything. That's what Jesus was saying about the birds falling to the ground. And he looks into you and I. He's watching what we do every single moment. And not as Big Brother watches with his technology, but God sees everything. And he's not really interested in seeing our negativity. God is looking out for a heart that loves him. God is looking for a person that's going all out for him, praying in secret where nobody sees. That's why Jesus said, enter into your closet and pray. And God who sees in secret will reward you openly. God in his ability to perceive and look into this universe, he knows what we're thinking. He knows our heart condition because he looks beyond the flesh. God doesn't see the outward appearance of any man. He looks at the heart of every man. And that's his ability as God, not to just see things physically, you know, what we're all doing and where we're going and what we're, you know, he sees the heart. And he has this indicator that when a heart is hot after him, he sees that and he begins to move in that person's life. When a life is going after him, he's like, wow, this one's going to, I'm going to be found of this one. And he sees it all, and it's in slow motion. He's in no hurry. He's in no rush. He's in a timeless realm. He's in a dimensional reality that is beyond anything we could ever imagine. And this is awesome. This is absolutely pure awesome. And if we're playing games, he sees that. And on his indicator scale, it's like, you know, he says, you know, they're not ready. I'm going to leave them in their stuff until they want to get serious with me. When they want to get rid of all the distractions, when they want to put me first, when I'm primary, they get rid of their idols, you know, then I'll begin to move a little differently. Right now, I'll kind of move, trying to coax them out of these things that are holding them back from following me wholeheartedly, giving me the 100%. And so I'll just kind of wait until they're ready. But there are those vessels that have forsaken everything for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus and are every day saying, this may be my last day on this earth. How can I serve you, Lord? I'm showing up for duty today. I'm showing up for business. I open my eyes. I'm breathing. I'm going to give you praise. What do you want me to do today? How can I live today to honor you? Everywhere I go, everything I do. You want me to get on a plane and go to Africa? Give me a ticket. I'll get on the plane. I'll go to Africa. You want me to go start a new church somewhere in this country? Show me where to go. I'll start a new church. What do you want me to do? You want me to be silent today? You want me to shut everything down today and just lock myself in with you? I'll do that with you today. What do you want, Lord? Holy Spirit, you take the lead. And these people have the most exciting lives on this planet. And they find out that God is a lot bigger than they've been thinking. No restrictions. The unlimited realm of God's glory moving us at his will. There's no better way. And to walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faith, all the fruit of the Spirit, man, that's the way to live life. To be at peace with your brothers, to be at peace with your own soul, to be at peace with your own mind. You know, we live in a day where the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he's the one that likes to, you know, magnify, you know, that scripture, you know, get the log out of your eye so that you can see the little beam or the speck in your brother's eye. Well, the devil, he's the greatest at that. I mean, he magnifies everything and tries to accuse and condemn the mind of God's kids. And I want to tell you today, you know, forget that nonsense. Blessed is the man that does not condemn himself in the thing that he allows. Live an abundant life. Live out loud. Live on purpose before God. And as you're with the Lord and you have those sacred, secret, quiet moments with the Lord, praise God for those. But live on loud. He said, go to the rooftops and shout from the rooftops. The Lord never tells us people to live, you know, these lives that are restricted in religious reality kind of thing. He says, you know, go there and put your whole heart into it. And yet, be humble. Have humility. Don't be, you know, vivacious and boastful and all that, but just, you know, live with the joy of the Lord in your spirit. Put a smile on your face. Put your shoulders back. Say that God has eulogized me. And that's what Ephesians 1, we've been studying Ephesians 1, and it's all about the word in the Greek is eulogize. It's our English word for eulogy, what you normally do to dead people. But the Bible literally says that God eulogized us, and there are moments of eulogy for people that are still alive that they just give a title of honor and respect to. They eulogize them for their great service. Well, God in Ephesians has eulogized you and I, his kids. He has respected, he has spoken words of respect over us. I mean, imagine that. Rather than letting the devil beat you up and accuse you and say all kinds of negativity, go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and realize that the Lord has spoken. He has eulogized you. He has spoken words of honor and respect and favor over your life. I mean, when the Creator starts speaking well over you, excellent words. I mean, when you get into the Greek about the kind of words that he's speaking over us, elegant. He talks about an eloquence. He's speaking elegant words over your life because he loves you with an everlasting love, not based upon your performance, but based upon your heart and your love and your desire for him. I'm telling you, you could rise up, man. We talk about the wind that eagles fly on. You could spread your wings and you could soar into the highest heights because of the very words and the very breath of God that he's spoken over your life. You got to believe it. You got to have faith in it. You need to know that you're loved, that God is good. You don't have to fear anything, worry about anything. God's got your whole eternal reality already worked out and prepared and planned. So today, live at the highest levels of excellence. Live for God today. Put God first. And if he asks you to do something you don't want to do, just do it. It's going to work out better anyways. So having said all of those things on this Tuesday morning, I am joined by my beloved wife, Patricia Joy, who finally made it home yesterday. And I want to say good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast, darling. How are you?
I am very well. It was a worthy trip. And to see your grandson truly, truly in love, and that which he has chosen truly, truly in love, with the desire to serve God with all their hearts, there's no more glorious picture than that. And so I'm coming home with a song in my heart, happy about what God has done. And I am thankful to him because it is he and he alone that has made it so very possible.
You know, Patricia, a lot of people say some pretty harsh things about Chicago because of all the stuff going on politically in the inner cities. But you went to a part of Chicago that was absolutely beautiful. Is that correct?
Yes, it's called the north side of Chicago, around Wilmette and those areas.
Where you grew up? Is that where you grew up?
Oh, no, no, no. I grew up on the west side of Chicago, the Italian area. And it was totally different in those days than it is today. But they still hold some of their culture strongly. They're not letting it go. The University of Illinois, the University of Illinois is right there in the vicinity. So it's become more as an area in which they come to have Italian food, to have fun, and to remember the days of mafiosa, to put it mildly.
But this other part of the where you were in this, what would you call it, the northern
part of, it's not Chicago any longer.
Oh,
it becomes Wilmette and other towns there, and it is beautiful, well kept, but the taxes are out of sight. And it's going to increase because of the times we're in. And from what I have been told, it's become a, what do you call, city?
A refuge, a safe city?
Yes.
Really?
And that,
well, you have a lesbian mayor there. I mean, we just throw that out there, right?
Yes.
Who basically told everybody, get used to it.
Yes,
yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
And it is on their hearts to leave. Not because they're not having...
You mean your family?
Yes, not because they don't love where they are, but the taxes are becoming insurmountable, and it's becoming very difficult to live. So many that have been established and rooted in Chicago from the time they've been born are now considering leaving. And that's a sad thing. It really is. But I have a scripture for you regarding bees.
Huh.
That so encompassed what you were saying.
Okay.
And God is thrusting this out now, bees of all things, who would believe? But it says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I'm telling you, we just can't do that right now, not in any man. And it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princesses. In other words, people that are of the government, you know, control. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. And we were just talking about Chicago and how they feel they're being compassed about by these high, incredible tax raises. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. That's in Psalms 118, 8 through 12. And there are so many scriptures regarding bees, I was shocked. And they all have the same idea. They come as honey, but they end up stinging.
You know, it's very interesting because we've been talking for a week about a prophecy I just read earlier this morning about the bees years ago. And then Christopher Green, I played this at church on Saturday night. He has a 15-minute little YouTube video where he says God showed him three prophetic signs. And one of the signs was a swarm of bees. And then our dear sister Carla said she saw a swarm of bees. She thought maybe birds, but Christopher said these bees were so big, she probably saw the swarm of bees. And so what was interesting in the prophecy of the bees that I had received, God revealed them as terrorists,
uh-huh.
Palestinians.
Uh-huh.
And so now you're reading scripture on bees that have some negative tone to them.
The Palestinians, I have to say it as
Islamic,
it is.
Muslim. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. The Arabs and all of that. They are mentioned many times in scripture as bees. And they come as though they're going to bring something worthy, but the sting is incredible. And why bees? I mean, of all things. But another thing that I heard is the droning of the global hive. The global hive is founded upon an ancient and captivating story. It ranges all the way back to the beginnings of human government. Now, I believe this is the cry right now. Human government is the problem. And its successive and fanatic possession to rule the world. See, there's a possession
Nimrod.
In its, yes. And both its foundational beliefs and its present practices are steeped in the darkest and most evil idolatry. And that is what the bees represent. It is incredible. You know, whoever saw them in that manner, in that way. But it's beginning more and more. And it says, as we look into the ancient past, we will track the amazing story of the bees, their hidden meanings and metaphoric applications. At their first mention in scripture, the bees are used to describe the Amorites during the wilderness journey. Israel dared to make war against the mountainous territory of the Amorites, but they came off and attacked them like bees. I mean, it's on over and over about the bee. And the Amorites, which dwelt in the mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Homah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice nor give ear unto you. Why? Because there was no repentance. So here they are today. And by the way, the Edoms and the Moabs are the Amorites, and they are, as of today, mentioned as Palestinians.
In that article?
Well, not, yes. I can find one scripture after another that has that, who they are today, who these people are today, Moab,
yeah.
Edom, Amorites. They're the Palestinians today.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our dear brother, Michael, and his wife, Carmen, who just celebrated their one-year anniversary yesterday, they're listening in right now, and he said, Mountain Home, Arkansas is now known as Chicago of the South without all the nonsense that they have up north. So I guess there's a lot of Illinoisans coming down.
Well, you know, strangely enough, I wish I would have known that, because I'm trying to encourage them.
Oh.
My grandson and his new business, plus, you know, my son and my daughter-in-law to come here, because I believe this is the area in which they should be.
So, Patricia, let me ask you a question. You have been in ministry now for nearly 40 years. You have been in ministry. And you've poured your heart out in ministry. You've written a book. You've been laboring for people's souls. We were talking earlier this morning about, what if this was our last day on this earth? How would you live it? I ask you the question.
I was considering that thought today also. And we do need to live. Listen, folks, it is true. We need to live each day in these days as though it is our last. The time is now here. It's now at hand. It's not coming. It is. And how do we do that? We love in the best way possible. We love each other within our family. We love God first with all our heart. We are obedient to Him. We are obedient to His word. We must be made ready. Then we must love others as ourselves. And then, as we walk in each day by looking and watching for the needs of others, we will fulfill the promise that we will be transformed into His image. And it'll happen quickly. It'll happen fast. We must watch our temperament. We must watch our angry responses to things and our offenses. We must stay in peace and enjoy each day fully and completely through love and through just what God has granted us, eternal life, and look at everything as though we won't ever see it again, but enjoy it as much as possible. You can enjoy your life each day, and each day could be a happier experience than the day before if you will think of it in that manner, in that way.
Well, amen to that. There is a scripture in Luke 21:34. That says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. So the word surfeiting is very interesting. Overcharged with. The kripale is the Greek word, kripale, and what it actually means is the giddiness and headache caused by drinking wine to excess. Probably this word is talking about living a lifestyle of complete worldliness, or allowing the liberties that we have to take over our senses, because that's what happens when you're drunk, basically. So when something is overcharged, here that word is baruno, or to be weighed down or to be burdened. And you can be weighed down and burdened by the excess of this world's goods. So again, the admonition by Jesus, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be weighed down or burdened with this giddiness or headache of drunkenness and the cares of this life. Patricia, this is the merime, and it means the anxiety, and it means the distraction. It's from the idea of distraction or that type of scenario. And Jesus here is telling us, and I think this is complementary to what we're talking about, how would you live your last day on this earth? Well, don't be weighed down, don't be burdened, don't be overcharged with giddiness, lightheartedness, drunkenness, the cares of this world, the distractions of this world, because you could be taken unawares. And finally, that word unaware in the Greek is ifnidios, and it literally means unexpected, sudden. And that's what we've been talking about all week. Beware of a suddenly. I preached on it Wednesday. Or excuse me, Sunday.
Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Can you imagine being anxious for nothing all day long? But if you will train your mind and heart and soul, will be cleansed if you will be anxious for nothing. When anxiety comes in on a level of stress, ignore it and say, no, my Lord is with me, and all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let it be known unto the Lord what your concern is. And the God of peace will keep your heart. You don't need to be anxious. It doesn't matter whether it is financial, family issues. You give it unto the Lord and have faith. And he will, if you believe, take care of every crook and cranny. And I'm not exaggerating in this. This is the way, and there is only one way, and it is the narrow path to life. Because without this, if you become anxious and stressful, offended, you don't have life.
Amen. And now think about the condition that you just spoke in. And we continue in Luke 21. I just read verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with this way of life and cares of the world and drunkenness. And so that day come upon you unawares or unexpectedly or suddenly. Verse 35 says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So what's coming is coming as a snare. And then in verse 36, Jesus says, watch ye therefore. Well, because you know this is going to be that way, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so what is a snare? We all know what it is. It's a trap. It's a noose. And when you look at it in the Greek, it's a trick or a stratagem. Okay. So that which is coming, and we know it's coming. We know it's coming. That's what we're hearing today. And we know it's coming as a snare. It's going to trick and snare people all over the world. But we're told to watch and pray always that we may be accounted worthy. And that phrase there, the kataxio, literally means to be judged worthy, to be deemed entirely deserving. And that's the way we should live our lives, to say, are we deserving? And Jesus said we should be living so that we are found in that manner. A lot of people say, well, nobody's worthy of anything, and so God will just pass over. No, he doesn't say that. He says you're to live in a manner that you would be deemed entirely worthy to do what? Escape all these things that are coming to pass. Now, what is the escape? The pre-trib rapture? No. What is that escape?
The stinging bees.
Escape the sting of the bees, which, by the way, in Revelation chapter 9, it talks about the locust coming out of the pit stinging men.
Let me explain what I just saw and read on in scripture regarding that. It says the Amorites are likened unto swarming bees, which come out of their mountains or mountainous hive to overpower the Israelites, their land together with Edom and Moab to the south forms the bulk of Israel's ancient enemies. As we shall see, these enemies persist through the ages. They're still here, finally emerging as the global power of the latter days. The very bloodline of these enemies is the foundation of the Antichrist system. Who are these enemies? The Amorites, the Edoms, the Moabs. They're in the bloodline and they're coming forth now. And this is the sting of the bee, because it says, and the Amorites, which dwelt in the mountain, came out against you. And this represents us today, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you, because you did not observe the times you were in.
Wow. You know, that is huge, really, to see that all these visions and things that God is just showing to people about the bees is being understood. And when I wrote this out to the Palestinians years ago, you know, there it is, the confirmation in the Word of God. So God is really bringing this out, and he's bringing this up. And we are moving in towards the summer, which will begin on June 21st. And we expect a summer of violence. We expect internal problems, race against race within our nation. The things we saw years ago in Ferguson, Missouri, in Baltimore, Missouri, when with the police shootings in Dallas, the internal thing with Black Lives Matter, the racial thing going on, that is all there. And there's something going to ignite it. And I believe what we're going to see is a summer of violence. And then it's going to lead to that end in the book of Amos right around September, October. And that possibility is certainly there, where the major events in China and Russia and North Korea, that's kind of backpedaling on some of its promises that were made, there's something happening in the stoutness of men's hearts or national leaders around the world that is, they are not going to pass away. Russia and China are not going to pass away in this generation, not fulfilling what they're doing here. They are going to fulfill the word of God, and they are going to bring destruction upon the United States of America in the knockout punch. I'm talking about the final blow to this nation. And I think we're getting ready to see things happen this summer. And it's going to lead up into the fall, and the howlings are going to begin. Patricia, I want to take phone calls today. If we can, we'll just open the telephone lines. To anybody that's out there listening, you have any questions or comments or something you'd like to share on the radio broadcast today, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. And if you're already listening, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we will bring you immediately into the broadcast. We've got about 7 minutes, enough time for 2 or 3 calls and to hear some things from the voice of many waters, some thoughts and ideas about the broadcast today. So 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. Patricia Joy.
Everything we've been saying comes to one particular point, and it is the contrary work of the enemy. You see, there's a controversy between Christ and Satan, and that has been carried forward for nearly 6,000 years and is soon to close, and we're in the midst of this. We have been born for such a time as this, but the wicked one, Satan, his efforts is to defeat the work of Christ in man's behalf and to fasten souls and snare them. That's his desire. And to hold the people in darkness till the Savior comes with his angels. And by that time, it is hopeful by the enemy that he accomplished his work, and there is no more special effort made to resist his power. And why? Because indifference prevails on the earth, and I'm seeing indifference everywhere right now. I am seeing it.
Yeah, because it's everywhere. There's, I mean,
indifference. Everyone
house
I talk
divided.
To,
absolutely.
I can speak to people on my way here and there on the plane, going to and fro, and I am telling you, there is a spirit of indifference.
That's right. You say tomato, I say tomato. It's all over the world in high levels. And I'm going to go out on the line and say this. I would say that we should be paying attention to, in the United States of America, to open up what we've been talking about, a massive earthquake. I would say that that will be the sign of what we're saying is on track. But let's take our first call this morning, coming in from area code 4798552580. I won't do the rest. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Well, good morning, pastors, both of you. How are you doing? You're doing well,
we're
I hope.
Good. Doing great. How are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed, blessed. You know, what I'm concerned with, Pastor, the things that you were saying, that people are kind of ignoring it and saying, oh, I've heard all this before, and I know all this kind of stuff is going on. And the Lord kind of reminded me of an old fable on here, that the boy who cried wolf. I think we all know that story. And I know what happened on there is that people heard it, and began to ignore it because the wolf didn't come. But the problem is that when it did happen, and it did occur, the people were ravaged by the wolf because they weren't ready. They didn't listen to what was coming down. And that's what I'm concerned about with people, that they hear it, but they don't do anything about it. They kind of ignore it. And yet the warnings or signs are all there. Everything is in place for these very things to happen. But I'm concerned because they have not prepared. They have not gotten themselves ready. And the wolf began to ravage the people. So that's something that we all need to think about.
Yeah, you know, this is amazing, because right before you came on the air and Patricia was talking, that same thought came into my mind about the town crier or the boy that cried wolf. And what you're saying is so true, because you'll remember on January 21st, there was a blood red wolf moon, and that God was warning that this would be the year of the wolf. And the wolf that has been spoken of in times past is now in the house. He is in the house, and it is the time of the wolf. And then we had that Bonnie had the vision or the dream of the wolf that she kept telling her husband to kill, but it was too cute to kill, and grew up and killed a lot of people. So what a profound thing. I mean, I was thinking the same thing before Pastor Ken said that about the wolf.
What I'm laughing at is we have wolves, we have bees. What comes next?
Well, the book of Revelation has dragons and beasts and, you know, four-headed monsters. So well said, Pastor Ken.
Amen. Amen. You know, the people are in darkness, and that's because they resisted the light, and they're still making that choice. And they're, you know, when that happens, there is no effort made to resist darkness. It can't be. And so indifference prevails. Sorry
to
say.
Yes, it does. And Patricia, we're coming down to our last minute in the broadcast today. And as we begin to close out, we want to remind everybody that every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I turned on Omega Radio on my phone yesterday. I couldn't believe the message that this one guy, I couldn't even remember his name. I'm going to go back and find it. There are some great broadcasts on the Omega Radio Network. In fact, when we hang up here from Blog Talk Radio, the Omega Radio Network will be hosting a Deliverance Roundtable discussion, again, led by Patricia Joy. You want to definitely get there. Tune in. Those are some of the greatest broadcasts, 24 hours a day. But we need you to tell people about omegaradio.org.
show them how to get there, keep the word going. There are some great ministries out there. Again, we want to say happy anniversary to our dear friends, Michael and Carmen. 1 year of marriage. I know it went by like a blink of an eye. It was so fast. They have found love, and God has done an amazing work in their lives. We'll be seeing them very soon. I want to say to all of our listeners today, shalom. God bless you. Obey what you just heard today. Live today like maybe save your life on this earth. And if you make it through the day, live every day like that, but understand what's coming down the pike.
If you do so, you'll already touch into the eternal.
Amen to that. The eternal is where we want to live. All right, right now, OmegaRadio.org. Patricia Joy Xavier in the roundtable discussion. Shalom. We'll see you soon.
God bless you.